Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Timber Living Log Cabins. For your perfect workspace, living space or hideaway, timberliving.ie.
Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.
So it was confirmed this week that there will be a sequel to the legendary spoof music documentary This Is Spinal Tap, and radio and TV producer Owen Sweeney joins me now to turn it up to 11, as they say. Welcome, Owen.
Thanks, Mark.
Actually, would we just get this out of the way first? Yes. Take that clip.
But if you can see, the numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board. 11,
and most of
11,
the amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes, you're going to be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up, all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is, if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
I don't know, is that just two middle-aged men now or whatever? But that's brilliant. I haven't watched it in ages, actually.
So you don't need to, Brendan.
Before we get to the sequel, remind us of the original This Is Spinal Tap.
Well, this is, timing is often everything in these things. And this came out in 1984. It was just the right time. They had such a rich recent cultural history to draw upon, which is heavy metal, essentially, which is, you know, hard rock heavy metal, which had reigned through the 70s and was kind of not quite superannuated by the mid-1980s, but it was in a fallow period. Yeah. Ozzy Osbourne had gone, Sabbath were struggling, and we'll get to them in a second, actually. So, you know, and America, of course, had this love affair with British invasion and British rock stars who come out of the blues boom and were very serious and whatever, but maybe not the brightest, as we hear in that clip there. So, you know, these actors got together. You know, you had Christopher Guest, Michael McKean, and Harry Shearer, and then you had Rob Reiner there as the director as well, and they thought, why not create this fictional band with the name Spinal Tap, which they did. And, you know, they're on their uppers at this stage, so they're playing kind of Air Force bases and kind of, you know, they can't get the gigs they used to, but they've got a rich heritage, etc., to draw upon. And a very select, you know, their appeal is becoming more select, as I think we find in the film. And every cliche that hadn't been mined at that stage, Brendan, was mined, and mined very successfully. So much so, the apocryphal stories are that it was watched on many of the heavy metal tour bus travelling through the United States, and the likes of Ozzy Osbourne either thought, A, it was a real band who he'd never heard of, but possibly played with, or B, it was about him. And so they're the stories that you hear, and you know, the authenticity, because it is a mockumentary, that wonderful contraction, the portmanteau word, like, it is a mock documentary, and that style really lends itself. And what you have there are three actors who create these three characters, you know, the band, you know, the guitar player, you know, the singer and the bass player, you know, so you've got fire, ice, and, as I say, lukewarm water in between. So you've got that kind of psychology of bands as well, and all that great kind of chemistry, and what you have, three actors, three great improvisers, so they create these characters.
Are the three of them coming together again
so along with Rob Reiner. So what they do is they conceive of these, what's great about it, and like all documentaries, I'm involved in several, obviously, a lot of it comes together in the editing. So what you have, they play it straight, it is a mock documentary, it's using all the devices, the handheld cameras, the single cameras, you know, the kind of secret filming, the mics, you know, the mics being left on, Spinal Tap obviously getting lost backstage on the way to the stage, you know, and can't find their way, all those great things. And but a lot of it is improvised. They have their characters, they live their characters, but they're so comfortable with each other, and it becomes an ensemble piece. And so the sequel that we're told, again, Rob Reiner back with the three boys, is basically their late manager has died and his wife has inherited the contract, which basically she owns the band. So to get out of that, they have to pay one last gig, and they're bringing back Marty DeBurgi, who of course is played by Rob Reiner, as the director, who did a bit of a hatchet job on them the first time around, they feel, but they're willing to do a kind of a last waltz, a Scorsese, you know, kind of, you know, the final band performance, which we all know, Neil Young and etc., legendary shots in that. So they're going to kind of one last gig before retirement. So, but there's really interesting. Can I say one really interesting thing about kind of one of the famous scenes in Spinal Tap? Of course, is where the staging, and you know, they have their song Stonehenge, and so they have this model of Stonehenge commissioned, and of course the dimensions are sent off to, the designs are written on the back of a napkin and sent away, and the designer comes back, and unfortunately, rather than, you know, feet, it is inches. And so when it's lowered from the stage, you see the three faces, and there's this miniature model of Stonehenge running this grand thing. At the same time as they were filming this, Brendan, Black Sabbath were over there, and they had their manager, Don Arden, who of course is Sharon Osbourne's dad, was manager of Black Sabbath, and he, with Geezer Butler and whatever in the band, wrote down what he thought were feet, but actually were metres. So at the same time as it's being filmed in fiction, in reality, Birmingham's finest heavy metal band, Black Sabbath, had, rather than 9 foot high model of Stonehenge, had a 9 metre high model of Stonehenge. And unfortunately, they weren't playing stadiums, they were playing indoor venues, and they couldn't get it into any of the venues. Art imitating life.
Brilliant. And art did imitate life in the sense, or life imitated art in the sense that two real documentaries about heavy metal bands that have become kind of classics, almost out-parody the parody.
Isn't it brilliant? And it's kind of, it's almost what we got with reality TV as well, you know, kind of mock documentaries, the scripted reality, you know, reality is now scripted, whereas documentaries are largely improvised. But Anvil, that great Canadian heavy metal band who never made it, but were kind of filed away at the back of, you know, Lars Ulrich from Metallica's record collection and all these people, you know, they were the band that could have been, but you know, this follows them on a European tour playing, you know, tiny clubs to a very select audience. And I should point out that one of them, I think it's the drummer, his name is Rob Reiner, who's also the director of Spinal.
Yes, isn't that but weird? It's not a spoof.
It's not a spoof at all. It's an actual, and you know, one of them would deliver school meals. You know, he works in kind of this warehouse, and you see him in the depths of winter, and then he's going and he's rehearsing with the guitar player, and they're best friends from the time they were teenagers in high school, and they're still in the band 40 years later, and they're still playing. And the other great metal one that we all thought was kind of, is this real? Are they having a laugh on us? And that's, of course, Metallica, the biggest metal band in the world in terms of selling out venues and whatnot. And they have a shrink, you know, and their producer at one point wants to join the band, basically. He's like, oh no, you can't, they've kicked out the bass player. Oh, I'll play bass, lads. Do you know what I mean? It's like, and it's just like, oh, it's just such a through the fingers watch, but it is dead straight.
And the thing is then that, so Christopher Guest and that ensemble kind of,
yes.
They've made a lot of those classic mockumentaries, but kind of Spinal Tap did invent that genre, and then The Office and all that, it all owes a debt to it, doesn't
it's
it?
Amazing how it leapt into mainstream television. I mean, I think like in America, we can go back, I mean, Modern Family, probably one of the biggest comedy shows of all time, is ostensibly a mockumentary. You go back before that, you've got Parks and Rec and the US version of The Office, Parks and Recreation. The great thing about those shows is they're set in kind of small town and small town life, you know, Pawnee, Indiana, Scranton, Pennsylvania, you know, and they're very, again, an ensemble cast, but you're in on the joke, and it is, and the joke in the US Office, of course, by series 8 or 9 is this ever going to go on television? You know, they literally say that's the breaking the fourth wall all the time. And that's the thing about Modern Family, is that there are pieces to camera. One show that I would say, that going back to 1998 and 2000, I was, you know, like a lot of Irish people did the old year in Australia, whatever, it happened to coincide with the Sydney Olympics. So on the ABC, you know, their state broadcaster, they had two series, one in 98 and one in 2000, and very Australian as well, of course. You know, they weren't confident the Sydney Games would go off without a hitch. So there was this spoof documentary series called The Games, and it was about the organising committee and the trials and tribulations and the inefficiencies and the bureaucracy, and would it ever happen? One whole scene involves the 100 metres track, which is only 94 metres, Brendan. It's worth looking up on YouTube after this programme. Okay. It will give you a laugh. But
then, of course, that there was an English one around the Olympics that then became kind of
2012. Which then became the spoof on, and you know,
and W1A is superb.
Yeah, which is a spoof on the BBC, etc., etc. And then the Richie Gervais, I just always wondered, and it's one question I would ask him if I've ever met him, did he see the games? Because in 1998, it was a very, again, three people in an office, kind of maybe going to the minister, but working in a very isolated environment. And then I came back from Australia 2001, and what's on television on the BBC, chanced upon it one night, the original series of The Office. Yeah. And again, very tight. A lot of it's in the editing. It's the secret cameras. It's the single cameras, the shaky cameras, the pieces to camera. It just, the format absolutely lends itself to comedy.
So, and
the great
thing about those movies, hopes then for Spinal Tap,
as long as it's 90 minutes or less. You know, and that's the secret. Brevity really is the soul of wit when it comes to mockumentaries.
Absolutely. And on that note, thank you very much, TV and radio producer Owen Sweeney. We'll take a break.
Email brendan@rte.ie.